Let us bow our heads in prayer. Let us pray. God of all power, but also of all love, raised from the grave our Lord Jesus Christ, and by your mighty power brought him to the life that knows no end. We praise you on this Easter Sunday that rather than being dead while still alive, we may be alive despite the death that so often surrounds us. Stir our hearts with the realization that just as we meet here this morning on a brisk and invigorating day, a day that appears to be hanging on to the coldness of winter, but is blessed with a radiant sun that warms the earth, spring moves within every living thing, ready to birth forth and bring new life into your world. Each of us in our own way has had our time alone in the garden. Each of us has had our own Good Fridays. We have felt the frustrations of dreams that will never be realized, dreams for ourselves and for our loved ones. We have felt the loss, the passing of loved ones who we wish were here with us this morning and every morning. We felt the pain of alienation, the separation that arises from misunderstanding, from not seeing deeply enough, from not being humble enough, from not being patient enough. We confess that we have been unable to understand and accept those whom we might have embraced in love. Each of us in our own way has experienced the pain of Good Friday. O God, in this resurrection day, help us not only to remember, help us not only to celebrate, help us to experience the risen Christ both within and among us. Help us to experience the healing that the risen Christ can bring us, the healing of body, mind, and spirit. Help us to experience the peace that passes all understanding, the peace that he and he alone can bring to our troubled minds. Fill us with the hope that you will not only rise us from the ashes of despair, you will also help us to rise our nation and our world from the ashes and devastation of war, prejudice, exploitation, and greed. That you will free us from the demonic forces that separate us from one another and from the earth, the demonic forces that lead to so much pain. We thank you, O God, for Easter, a day of rejoicing and great gladness, a day when we, like the disciples, suddenly realize that what we thought was impossible is possible with you, a day when we realize that the cross does not have the final word, that death can give rise to new and resurrected life. And so in these moments of silent prayer, we lift our hearts and our prayer to you on behalf of all those whom we know to be in special need of healing, of hope, of courage, and of that sense of your presence that will enable them to rise above their afflictions, their struggles, and their losses, to embrace the new life that you would have them experience. We ask this, our sanctuary prayer and our many prayers, both spoken and unspoken, in the spirit of our Lord Jesus Christ, who taught us when we pray to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Thank you. Scripture lesson this morning is taken from the 20th chapter of the Gospel according to John, verses 1 through 22. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Then Peter and the other disciple set out and went toward the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who reached the tomb first also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned around and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father. But I go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." This ends our scripture lesson for this morning. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. This past week, as I was preparing for this morning's service, the memory of a children's message I gave on Easter Sunday in a church that I served prior to my coming here floated back into consciousness. When I give a children's message, I often ask the children questions, because questions challenge them to think. However, I'm well aware that this pedagogical technique is more than a little dangerous, because you never know what children are going to say. As Art Linkletter used to say, kids say the darndest things. I apologize, I know my reference to Art Linkletter was probably from before your time. That particular Sunday, I began by asking the children, "What do we have to do to get to heaven?" In response, a third grade girl said, "We have to die." It wasn't exactly what I had in mind. I was thinking of sharing your toys with your younger brother or sister, respecting your elders, doing what your parents tell you to do, using good table manners, and saying please and thank you. However, I had to admit that this little girl was not only right, she was actually thinking deeper than I was. If heaven is a place where we go, or where we hopefully go, after we die, then we have to die to get to heaven. In an even deeper sense, she is also correct. She's correct in relation to this life, the life we are presently living. The central message of the gospel is that you can't have a resurrection without a crucifixion. We don't always affirm the deep, powerful truth articulated by this little girl in our observance of Holy Week. We move from Palm Sunday, a day of triumph, to Easter Sunday, another day of triumph, without passing through the dark night of the soul that is a central part of Holy Week. It's tempting to think that we can have a resurrection without a crucifixion, without a sacrifice, without a death, either in Jesus' life or in our lives. This is why so few churches and so few Christians observe Maundy Thursday or Good Friday. This past Thursday night, we met in this sanctuary. We broke bread with our Lord and with each other, just as the disciples did at what we know as the Last Supper. Then, in observance of the ancient service of Tenebrae, which means darkness, we listened to the scriptural account of our Lord's passion, his time in the upper room with his disciples, his time alone in the garden, Judas's betrayal, and Peter's denials. We recalled the horror of Good Friday, the trial, the scourging, and the crucifixion. The readings ended with our Lord's death and burial. After each reading, the reader extinguished a candle on our communion table until the entire sanctuary was in darkness. Then, during the prayer of expectation, the Christ candle was extinguished and then relit, symbolizing the hope of the resurrection. Following Holy Saturday, when Jesus' body was entombed, we celebrate Easter Sunday. We celebrate our Lord's resurrection. It's true, Holy Week begins and ends in triumph. However, the triumph of Palm Sunday was a premature triumph. It was a worldly triumph, the kind of triumph that comes with popularity. As Jesus realized, that kind of triumph is short-lived. The triumph of Easter is different. It's a final triumph. It's a spiritual triumph, the triumph of the empty tomb, the triumph of life over death. It symbolizes our Lord's entry not into the city of Jerusalem, but our Lord's entry into eternity, into the eternity that we experience in our own hearts and lives when we, like Jesus, are in the kingdom of heaven. Can you imagine how disappointed the disciples must have been as they watched the triumph of Palm Sunday devolve into Good Friday? Their Lord's crucifixion on Calvary must have seemed like the ultimate defeat. The one who had been born in a borrowed manger, who rode into Jerusalem on a borrowed donkey, was finally laid to rest in a borrowed tomb. The women disciples gathered early on Sunday morning for a last act of devotion to prepare his body for burial. None of them believed that they would ever see him again. None of them. As the rising sun pushed back the mist and the gloom that hung over the entrance of the tomb, the message of victory rang out. He is risen. Their Lord was alive. Death had not defeated him. His love for them was so great that it could take Thomas's doubts, Peter's denials, and turn them into strengths. He could even build a church out of them. The message of Easter was the realization that their Lord continued to live on in the world, in them, and in the world through them. Easter changed history. It changed the world. It transformed a martyrdom into a coronation. It changed the no of Good Friday to the yes of Easter Sunday. It changed the disciples. It can also change us. And it can change our world. We live in a frightened and fragmented world, a polarized world. We live in a world where nation is at war with nation, where religious conflicts render the fabric of society, where the fear that leads to hatred reigns over compassion and love. It seems that in the Middle East, the place where Jesus was born, where he lived and walked, where he taught and healed, people have declared war on peace and feel totally justified in doing so. We live in a world where the cult of terrorism and the taking of innocent lives have been raised to the level of divine mission. We live in a world where millions of people are dying of starvation. We observe with dread how fascism is once again rearing its ugly head in many countries, including our own. The darkness of despair that hangs heavy over our world threatens to block out the light of the Christmas star, the rays of the Easter sunrise, the faintest flicker of hope. To such a world, to such an age as ours, comes the message of Easter. Easter reminds us that even in our darkest moments, the love of God shines through. I do not for a moment believe that the tragedies with which we struggle as individuals, as families, and as nations are the will of God. These tragedies, which arise from our brokenness, from our sin, must make God weep. But God cannot be defeated. The message of Easter is that God is always working for healing in us and in our world, and that the love of God is the deepest level of reality. The message of Easter is that what holds the universe together is not chemistry, but spirituality. Not blind fate, but eternal purpose. Not the darkness of death, but the light of resurrection. The women who go to the tomb find that the stone has been rolled away. They discover that their Lord lives, that death has not defeated him. The women and the other disciples then begin to experience their Lord in different ways and places. They realize that, as the Apostle Paul tells us, nothing, not even death, can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. The triumph of Easter is that the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven that Jesus came to teach and to incarnate, is a living reality in us and in our world. Let's go back to that little girl's answer, which I confess took me aback in the moment. My question was, what do we need to do to get to heaven? Her answer, which was not only cute, it was insightful, was, we have to die. We know that Jesus had to die to be resurrected. As he told his disciples in the upper room, he had to die to his human form, his incarnation in Jesus of Nazareth, in order that we might discover him in a new way as the Holy Spirit within us. We too, as the Apostle Paul tells us, have to die to our old self to experience a new life in Christ. We need to sacrifice our egocentric life to enter into a Christocentric life. So what the little girl said is true. In fact, it is profound. It is true not only of the historical event of Good Friday, of Jesus' crucifixion, its symbolic message to us in our lives is a central part of the Christian gospel. We note that our scripture lesson this morning tells us that when Jesus returned to his disciples following his resurrection, he shows them the wounds in his hands and his side. He shows them his wounds. This is the reminder that pain, sacrifice, and death are inextricably interwoven with resurrection and rebirth. You can't have one without the other. However, what that little girl said that Sunday morning is not the whole story. We commonly think that heaven is a place where we go after we die. Heaven is where God is. It is the realm to which Jesus ascended after he died. The problem with this way of thinking is not that it is false, but that it isn't the whole story. It's built on the assumption that heaven is separated from earth, that God is separated from humanity, that Christ is separated from us, and that we will be with God and Jesus only after we die. I think this misses the real meaning of Easter. We know that heaven is the realm of God. To be in heaven is to be with God. If we are with God, if we are in God, we are in heaven. We are in the kingdom of heaven. This is what Jesus was trying to help us experience in our lives. We also know from the testimony of Scripture that we are always with God. The writer of the 139th Psalm affirms his faith by saying to God, "Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there." The Apostle Paul tells us that nothing in this life, not even death, can separate us from God. We can, however, be separated from the consciousness of God. We can forget about God. We can fail to nurture our relationship with God. Then our lives become filled with other things, with stuff. The metaphor rings true. Jesus stands outside the door of our lives and knocks. All we have to do is open the door. The message of Easter is that, despite what that little girl thought, we don't have to die to get to heaven. The triumph of Easter is that Christ lives within and among us. The triumph of Easter is that Christ has conquered death, not only the death of our body, but the death of our spirit, the death before death from which so many suffer. The triumph of Easter is that we can be with our Lord not only after we die, we can be with our Lord right here and now in our worship this morning and also in the week to come. This is the hope that can sustain us when we are passing through the wilderness experiences, the difficult and painful experiences of our lives. It is the knowledge that we do not walk this path alone. Christ is not a memory, but a presence. Christ is always working within us to bring light out of darkness, to bring healing out of brokenness, to bring hope out of despair, to work a resurrection miracle in us and in our world. Disciples of our Lord Jesus Christ, let us become aware of the presence of the risen Christ, that we might incarnate the kingdom of heaven that he promised to us right here on earth. Let us make the kingdom of heaven a reality both within and among us, in our lives, in our nation, and in the world. That's what Jesus did while he was with us, and what, as the risen Christ, he continues to do. This is the message and the triumph of Easter. Let us pray. Almighty God, be present to us as the risen Christ. Help us to know that though we may be going through dark and difficult times, that still small voice within us, that voice that calls us to a life of love rather than hate, a life of acceptance rather than judgment, a life of compassion rather than indifference, will never be silenced. We trust that your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. If your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, it has to begin with us. Remind us of our commitment to bring about the kingdom of God on earth. Be present to us in such a way that we will not only recognize and feel your comforting presence, but that we will be led outside ourselves to bring a comforting, healing presence to our brothers and sisters in those moments when they are traveling through the valley of deep darkness. Confirm us as disciples, as those who are committed to hearing and understanding your word, your will for our lives and for the world. But then transform us into apostles, that we might carry the word, the spirit of our risen Lord forth in our daily lives. We ask this in the spirit of our risen Lord. Amen.